National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
In Vatican news this week, Pope Francis met with G7 leaders, including President Joe Biden. He also chummed around with celebrity comedians and published a document on papal primacy. Plus, a skeleton was discovered during Jubilee 2025 construction in Rome, and the Vatican gave a preview of next week's conference on the Big Bang Theory. Catholic News Agency's Vatican correspondent Hannah Brockhaus gives us a report, and then Matthew Bunsen provides highlights from the U.S. Bishops' spring meeting, and Ken Oliver, Catholic News Agency's editor-in-chief, updates us on the latest news on the pro-life beat, including the Supreme Court's rejection of pro-life doctors' case against the abortion pill mifepristone. I'm Jeanette DiMello, Executive Director of the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency, your host here on Register Radio. I'm joined by my co-host Matthew Bunsen, who is reporting from the U.S. Bishops meeting in Louisville, Kentucky. We'll get an update from him in a few minutes, but let's turn to Hannah Brockhaus and this very fascinating week at the Vatican. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Jeanette.
Wow. World leaders, celebrity comedians, a skeleton, and Big Bang Theory. It's been a pretty interesting week there for you guys reporting from the Vatican. Of course, the most newsworthy is that Pope Francis went to the G7 meeting for the first time. It's a historic moment. What was his involvement there?
That's right. He participated in the second day of the three-day meeting in the southern Italian region of Puglia. He was invited by Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni to participate and to speak at one of the sessions they call Outreach. So it includes the leaders, obviously, of each of the seven nations in the G7, as well as other invited leaders. And he spoke on the topic of artificial intelligence.
What a fascinating topic. And I think, given that he's experienced some deep fake images and things like that related to him, it was an appropriate topic for him. But what else happened? I know he was scheduled to meet with President Biden and other leaders during this visit.
Yes, many leaders took the opportunity to request bilateral meetings with the Pope. So he had a full agenda of meetings both before that session and after that session, including meeting with U.S. President Joe Biden and with the President of Ukraine, Zelensky, and many others.
Very good. Well, I know we'll expect a lot more news. This is happening early in the day that we're talking. So I know CNA has been covering the G7 and everything that's happening there. So thank you, Hannah, for what you're doing on that.
Yeah, somewhat overshadowing the whole meeting of the G7 was Pope Francis's meeting today with comedians from around the world. From the United States, we have Whoopi Goldberg, Chris Rock, Jimmy Fallon, Jim Gaffigan, Conan O'Brien. But you made a really interesting point in your coverage of Pope Francis's meeting that this is, you said, the largest gathering of comedians probably since the Pope's got rid of the papal jester back in the 1500s. That's a historical detail that many of our readers, I think, will appreciate.
Yes, I found that really interesting myself, and even some of the comedians we were able to speak to after the meeting themselves expressed a little bit of surprise to have been invited to the Vatican. It wasn't something they were expecting, but I think in the end they were happy to have had the chance to see the Pope and to hear his remarks on humor and the importance of joy and laughter.
And really, it was part of a larger initiative, right? I mean, he's really been making effort to reach out in the area of culture. You could speak to this, but maybe as a way of hitting those people on the peripheries he's talked about so much. What are some of the other initiatives he's done in this kind?
I think that's exactly right. About 1 year ago, the Vatican organized a similar meeting with artists. So it enters into this kind of larger picture of dialoguing with artists. Last year, it was with more visual artists. This year, it's with, you could say, comic or performing artists. And we'll see if this becomes an annual thing.
Absolutely. So Another thing happening, and you can hear the sirens in Rome. I mean, it's always there's always motion there. But Jubilee construction is underway. Of course, 2025 is another big Jubilee, like the year 2000 was. Rome is getting prepared. There's a lot of work near the Vatican at Castel Gandolfo. So the construction that's just somewhat ordinary to be getting prepared for an event like this was extraordinary this week with a skeleton discovery. What do you know of it?
In Rome, it's so common anytime you start digging, obviously, to uncover something. Often it's just some ancient artifact, but that's also interesting. But this time it was something a little more, worth looking into and checking up on. So they discovered a skeleton. You know, they realized it's not recent. It's from probably the 16 to 1800s. So a bit historic, but it was surprising, of course, to find human remains. They didn't expect that there.
Right, and it was rather complete. And so we'll probably learn a lot more about that in the coming weeks, I'm guessing. And I don't know how long it'll take them to do further studies, but it was quite interesting. I do want to tease out another story. The real story is going to be next week, I suppose, in the conference. But you did write a story, From the Big Bang to Black Holes, Vatican and scientists to explore questions of the universe. What's going on next week?
Right. So the Vatican Observatory, which is based out in Castel Gandolfo, Italy, just a short ways outside of Rome, is hosting a conference with scientists, specifically astrophysicists and cosmologists, to discuss issues related to the universe, is how I summed it up, but specifically black holes, gravitational waves, and space-time singularities. So this conference is bringing, I think, 40 scientists to the Vatican, and another 150 will participate via web link. So the Vatican Observatory's scientists were very excited to get to dialogue with some of the top people in this area on these issues.
And of course, it's really, we're involved in the Vatican, the Catholic Church is involved because of the discovery of the Big Bang Theory, or I guess the promotion of the Big Bang Theory by Father Georges Maître. I can't speak French. I should have had Matthew say that. But it's a very interesting how the Catholic scientists throughout the years have contributed to so much. I think it's fascinating and certainly should get some interest, Hannah. Let's see, one more thing that happened this week that I teased out, and this one is way too much for us to get into in depth in this show, is that the Vatican published a document on papal primacy. And this document is aimed at unity amongst Orthodox and Protestant Christian communities with the Bishop of Rome. And so it's a 130-page study on the primacy, papal primacy. It came out on Thursday of this past week. And it's obviously, as a study, there will be a lot more discussion around it. But I do invite our listeners to go to catholicnewsagency.com to look at this story on papal primacy, as well as all of the stories that we've been talking about, to get a deeper look at all that is happening in Rome. And Hannah, I will say I'm very grateful to have you back from maternity leave, which you were on for the past few months, and just it's really good to have you back as a mom and a journalist. So welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be back.
Great. So, Matthew, I want to turn to you. You're on the ground in Louisville, Kentucky, where the U.S. bishops are meeting. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has been meeting this week since, I guess, June 13th. And There's a lot on the agenda. A pastoral plan for the U.S. Church's Native American ministry, discussions on Catholic Campaign for Human Development, the sainthood cause of Adele Breeze, who was a witness to the first and only Mary apparition in the United States in Champion, Wisconsin. So there's been a lot going on. What are the highlights?
Yeah, there are a couple of coming out of the meeting. We've gotten the approval of the document for Native American ministry, and that's something of a big deal given the fraught history reach out and care for indigenous people. So this is a framework I think that they're very optimistic about using in the future. We've also seen some very fruitful discussions on the mental health campaign. Behind closed doors, we know that the bishops have been discussing the campaign for human development, which is the bishop's program to fight poverty, which has been pretty controversial over the years because of some of the funding that it's provided, but also just because of the sheer expense of the program. We don't know exactly what the fruits of that will be, but I think we can look in the coming months probably to either reform or some significant changes there. The other thing that has emerged just yesterday is that we know that some of the bishops are very concerned about the situation in the Lexington diocese, in which Bishop John Stowe there allowed a transgender hermit to take up residence. And I had a chance to ask Archbishop Broglio just yesterday if there's been discussion. And he said, well, it hasn't been fully and openly discussed. He knows that a number of the bishops' committees are concerned about this. So I think this could very well be a springboard for further action on the part of the conference, looking at the wider question of hermits, but also how we are discerning and screening candidates for religious life and the priesthood, something that Pope Francis has talked quite a bit about.
Absolutely. And this, of course, is a story in nearby Lexington. Bishop John Stowe there, in that the leader of that diocese, has accepted this brotherhood of a hermit who is biologically a woman. It sounds as though Archbishop Broglio did speak, while he didn't address that in a very public fashion specifically, he spoke in his address about the body, the nature of our sexuality and our gift to the world through our sexuality in his address. Is that right?
He did. In his presidential address, he looked at a number of the issues that the bishops were dealing with at the conference meeting here, but he focused especially on a reiteration of church teaching on the human person and gender ideology. And I think that is something very much in the minds of the bishops today as they're confronting the situations that we're seeing across in culture. And that, of course, raised the question about the scandal, the controversy in Lexington. Notable, too, was Cardinal Christophe Pierre's address to the body. He's obviously the apostolic nuncio to the United States. His address was dedicated almost entirely to the Eucharist, focusing in particular on adoration and on the revival. So this was a very enthusiastic endorsement of the bishop's multi-year project that's, of course, culminating with the National Eucharistic Congress just next month in Indianapolis. And this is a real important endorsement, I think, from him for what the bishops have been doing, despite the fact that there have been critics of it from within the conference itself.
Right. No, absolutely. It's a wonderful endorsement of everything that has been going on with the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage that we've been covering so much at EWTN News, and of course, there's only a matter of weeks until the Congress in July. So Matthew and Hannah, thank you so much for the work you're doing on the ground. From the Vatican, Hannah, and Matthew from Louisville. It's always good that we're there in person and can bring that kind of news. So thank you for what you're doing. When we come back, Catholic News Agency's Editor-in-Chief Ken Oliver gives a report on some of the latest in pro-life politics. This is Register Radio on EWTN. Stay tuned for more.
Sacrifice is a profound virtue Catholics can lovingly embrace, especially during Lent. But this year, why not also indulge in something good for your soul? Give yourself the gift of EWTN's National Catholic Register and stay connected to the latest developments and historical traditions of our Catholic faith. Save half off your subscription today. Get the National Catholic Register delivered to your home, office, or parish, filled with spiritual insights on world events, along with compelling Catholic news and information. To get 50% off your subscription, order online at ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code radio. The National Catholic Register. It's the one indulgence you won't ever want to give up. Call or click today to save half off. The National Catholic Register. Read faithfully.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, your host here on Register Radio. 2 years ago, the Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Organization overturned Roe v. Wade and Casey v. Planned Parenthood and ended what was essentially a nationwide policy allowing abortion on demand until 24 weeks of pregnancy. So for the last 2 years, we've seen states taking on abortion regulation, with some states limiting abortion and other states enshrining it in their constitution. Now, in this 2024 election year, the abortion issue will have an important impact. There are many ways debates and legislative issues are heating up right now. And Catholic News Agency's Editor-in-Chief Ken Oliver joins us right now here on the show to give us an overview of abortion politics. So, Ken, it's good to have you. Of course, it's a serious topic that we are always covering at the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency and here on Register Radio. And I guess the biggest abortion news this week is the Supreme Court's decision on mifepristone, and that's the abortion-inducing drug. It's used in combination with another drug that basically induces an abortion. It's now the most common form of abortion in the United States, and the regulations over that go back, I think, about 20 years. And so what we've had now is that the justices are basically allowing the FDA's current rules to continue, and there's been no change. They've rejected, basically, this bid. And so let's hear more about this court ruling. What has happened, and what have reactions been?
Well, that ruling was on a narrow basis on standing. So these doctors were determined by the Supreme Court not to have sufficient standing to overrule or for the Supreme Court to get involved in the FDA's jurisdiction over drug safety. And clearly the doctors were concerned about 1 in 25 women who take these drugs end up in the emergency room. And yet the concern by the court basically is that the FDA has to maintain, you know, this could open up a Pandora box if this particular drug was challenged, because if every drug has safety risk. And so it was on narrow grounds. However, there are states across the country that have, we know, regulated the use of this drug, and these states may have standing. So there is a possibility this challenge could be picked up by state attorney generals, who actually some wanted to get in on this particular case and did not end up getting in on this case. So that, in a nutshell, that's what's happened with, unfortunately, the reaction by the pro-life leaders and our community is one of disappointment, because we've seen the current administration expand the distribution of these drugs through the mail, allowing that. And no longer are, as far as prescriptions of these drugs, now they can be prescribed not just by doctors but by all kinds of health professionals, so even over the phone. So it's it's a disappointment.
Right, but I don't think it's the end of the story. As you mentioned, it was on standing, which means it's a procedural decision. It wasn't based on the merits of what these doctors were bringing forward. That it was basically the court saying, sorry, you're not the ones that have the right to sue here. If we're going to decide this case on its merits, on whether or not the FDA should have approved this, now's not the time and this isn't the case. Because they even said in the decision, let's see if I can find it here, that there may be other moral issues that could be considered, but it's not the time and this is not the case. And that's basically an important thing we should know. I don't think the concerns over the abortion pill, especially as it's delivered by mail nowadays in so many places, I don't think this is over because of this particular ruling, and we have to watch for that.
And Jeanette, this really points to the importance of what administration is in power. So the administration, if that changes next year, a new administration could enforce more rulings, regulatory rulings that would restrict the mail order, you know, distribution of this drug and other things such as requiring doctor prescriptions in person.
That's right. And of course, President Joe Biden did react, and he made the point to say that this does not change the fact, even though the Supreme Court ruled in this case to allow the law to continue, this doesn't change the fact that the Supreme Court overruled Roe v. Wade 2 years ago and women lost a fundamental right. And so he's just encouraging, everyone to fight back. And that's the kind of statement he made in response to this particular ruling. And I think that's very indicative of where we are right now, Ken, and why it's so important for us to highlight abortion-related news. The administration, President Biden and his party's bid, the Democratic Party's bid for a second term for Biden, is wrapped up around abortion. And we see, them touting the same kind of policies, abortion on demand kind of policies that Roe was for the land. They're now trying to push that in all kinds of states. Their position hasn't changed all that much. It's extreme. But right now what we're seeing is some wavering of Republican support for certain kinds of abortion restrictions. So what are you watching? What is Catholic News Agency watching? And what are some of the legislative initiatives that have been your focus?
Sure. It's really coming down to the elections, right? It's right now we're seeing a lot of bills in the U.S. Senate. Today, this week, they've been voting on the IVF Protection Act. IVF is not being challenged really by any politician or state right now. Unfortunately, in our country, it's pretty unregulated. We're looking at a lot of different bills, but of course, the reality, Jeanette, is that in the United States Senate, you need 60 votes to pass anything, and none of these bills is going to pass with 60 votes. There are Republicans and pro-life leaders have expressed concerns about both Democrat and Republican bills on IVF, for example. What we're looking at is really coming down to also the platforms that are going to be developed. I mean, the Democratic platform is pretty clear on the administration is insisting, for example, now on not providing the Hyde Amendment anymore. Previously, Joe Biden supported not allowing federal funds for abortions, and now he does. So we're looking at the appropriations bills passing Congress. Previously, the Republicans in the House supported, for example, limiting the distribution of and the FDA budget. They were wanting to limit the distribution of mifepristone, and that's no longer in their position. So you've seen the Republicans also pulling back from previous positions they held.
That's right. And you're going to be going to the convention. So you'll be watching the kind of conversations and debates over what is included in the party platforms as we approach November.
It's a big change from 8 years ago. Remember, in 2020, the Republican convention stayed the same because of the pandemic. And this, in 2016, we were having an amendment, pro-life amendment to the Constitution in the platform. There was the support for the pain-capable 20-week ban. Now, the presumptive nominee, former President Trump, no longer favors that. He favors each state, of course, voting on these issues. So we at Catholic News Agency have developed an abortion ballot map where we have the entire country on there. Right. It's every day you can see, because these things are changing day by day. By the end of this summer, probably by the end of July, we'll know, as the state legislatures finish up their sessions, we'll know how many states will be voting on abortion. Right now it's just four: Florida, Colorado, Nebraska, and South Dakota. But as many as a dozen more states could very well be voting on abortion this fall.
Absolutely. Well, the anniversary of Dobbs is June 24th, and this coming weekend, next weekend, there is a pro-life conference. The Pro-Life Women's Conference and the National Sidewalk Advocate Conference have combined to create the Celebrate Life Conference. It's June 22nd and 23rd, and I invite our listeners to go to CatholicNewsAgency.com to follow the news that we have there, but also all this news about abortion-related politics and initiatives. It's important that we stay up to date on this. There's a lot happening, and we need to be informed. So, Ken, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And our dear listeners, remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, go to NationalCatholicRegister.com and NCRegister.com. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio here on EWTN. And together with Matthew Bunsen and my producer, Ace McKay, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, may God bless you.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.